And I think you're going to be blessed as we share in her pilgrimage. Sarah, come preach to us.
I already told some people in the congregation that I might need you in the middle to stand up and do a slow clap if I thank you. Thank you, Philip. Yeah, come on, Phil. I might start crying and you might not be able to understand what I'm saying. So if that happens, just smile and nod, you know, just like in high school. Here we go. I'm always excited when Pastor Bill invites different people from the congregation to preach. Being that I love attention and I love Jesus, preaching seems to be an easy fit. While in staff a few months ago, Pastor Bill posed the idea of what our sermon series would be. I was more than thrilled when we all decided on pieces of art or literature. While running through my head of all the books that have meant something to me, I tried to pick one and tie it to Scripture. After a few revised lists, I came down to a few books. A children's book, an adult book about God, and a teenager book. Obviously, I don't read a lot. I read the Bible a lot. All of these books have provoked deep thought and reflection on my part, so it was hard for me to choose. But while I was at winter camp with our high schoolers, the speaker read the children's book that I was contemplating speaking on. I knew then that God had a message for me to share. I Love You So is written by Marianne Richman. It's a children's book about a child and his mother. The child wants to know how much he's loved by his mom. And she answers him in a way that makes you want to call all your relatives and tell them that you're sorry and that you love them and that you miss them. And if you come from my family, that is not something you want to do. I knew that God wanted to speak on this. And I knew that I was preaching. So I chose to speak about God's love. It's a go-to for me in preaching. It's easy. You can't mess up a message about God's love. It's God's love. Go out and share it with your friends. Share it with your neighbors. Done deal. So when I had to turn in a scripture a few weeks ago, I did what anybody my age would do. I typed in my smartphone, messages about God in the Bible. Big mistake. When I chose today's passage, I only read the one little verse that popped up. One thing I learned growing up in the Southern Baptist Church is that you never read just one verse. You must read the whole chapter. Otherwise, you're left with subtext and you miss the context. Great. Lesson number one learned. God, 1 point. Sarah, zero. When I sat down this past week to try and start figuring out what I was going to say, I opened up my Bible and I read Psalms 13. It's no secret that King David wrote most of the Psalms and that he was considered a man after God's own heart. So again, I thought I was safe. So I was quite overwhelmed when I read the whole chapter. When I picked this book, the children's book, I thought making a connection to Jesus would be easy because the book is asking, how much do you love me? So at this point, again, I feel safe. God's laughing. I figured that I could look up a cute story about a kid and love, and I definitely thought that I would keep it surface level and not allow myself to feel or be vulnerable in front of people. Again, God is laughing. So here it goes. Being that I work at the church, my life is on display. When I get a pair of bright, sparkly new shoes, people notice. When my daughter grows an inch or two, people notice. And when your husband leaves you and doesn't come back, people notice. This past year has been an emotional roller coaster, to say the least. There have been few ups, and there have been a lot of downs. So when I picked this book and passage, I wanted to be sure to keep it easy. So let's take a look and see what God has for us. Follow along with me in Psalm chapter 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul having sorrow in my heart all the day. How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindnesses. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for your love and your words of encouragement. And God, I pray for the struggle that you gave me with writing this sermon. Thank you for the growth that it had in me, Lord. And God, I pray that the words that I say are not of me, but they're of you, God. And that they wash over these people, just like your blood, Lord, that washed us clean. God, I pray that like a fog outside, that we can just breathe you in and we can feel your presence, God. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What? What about the rainbows and sunshine verses about God's love or God's deliverance? What about the promise that God loves us no matter what? And this is what David gives me? And then I realized that this is my new favorite verse about love because it's real. This world is full of brokenness, full of sin, sin that separates us from God. This is real. David was a man that loved the Lord with all of his being. Being that David was a man and broken like us all, David had sinned against the Lord and he felt that God had turned from him. From this psalm, we can hear in David's words how he longs to be back in God's favor, and he's hurting. The psalm isn't well known in the way that we're not sure why he's lamenting. Throughout David's life, he is up and he is down. He is defeating Goliath, or he's mourning his best friend Jonathan. He's playing the flute for God's glory, or he's contemplating the death of an innocent man to conceal his affair with Bathsheba. But one thing is certain. David had fallen down and needed someone to pick him up. And we've all felt like that. We've all been there. I remember the day that I cried out to God in a very similar way, like David. I sat next to my bed on the floor, holding my 10-month-old baby, and I said to God through sobs of hurt, why? Why are you letting this happen to me? My whole life has been dedicated to serving you and serving others. Why would you let this happen to us? Do you even hear me? Hello? And there was nothing. No, don't worry, sweetheart. He'll come back. Or, don't worry, I'm here. I heard nothing. So I sat on the floor, holding my daughter in silence, other than the cries, and we both fell asleep on the floor. Like David, I was inconsolable. And like David, sin had separated him from the one he loved the most, and he could feel in his bones that he desperately needed God. I, too, desperately needed God, and I needed to be picked up off the floor. David asks God how long several times, and so did I. How long, God, will I wake up and feel like I was hit by a train? How long, God, will I have to plaster a fake smile on my face? How long, God, will I cry every night that I go to bed? How long? God, how long? Oftentimes we focus so much on the how long that we forget to ask a more important question, which is now what? David needed to hear something from God, anything. But then after his great lament, he turns around and he's reminded in God's great love. And David says, but I have trusted in your loving kindnesses. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. I think this is David saying, now what? This is where the children's book comes in. This book is so sweet in so many ways. The child just wants to know how much he's loved. And I guess that's what I needed to hear too. I needed to hear that God's love was so big and so great that he was going to rescue and deliver me from my pain. And I would like to share Marion Richmond's words with you. I love you so. I love you. How much? So much. How much is so? Way, way more than you know. I love you as bright as each sparkling star and as way out of space. I love you that far. I love you as big as a great lion's roar and as deep as the ocean. I love you much more. I love you as loud as a thundery sky and as tall as the mountains. I love you that high. I love you as silly as puppy dogs' kisses and as quiet as midnight. I love you like this. Do you love me every day? You ask with surprise. Or does love come and go like passing butterflies? I love you as steady as the moon and the sun, though some of our days are not full of fun. Like when you feel mad, you ask with distress, because I've broken the rules or made a big mess. I love you when you're nice and when you're cranky too. And I love you without liking the naughty things you do. My I love you doesn't change like the weather of the days. It's a certain kind of thing in many different ways. You're my sweetie, my dear, my smile and my giggle. You're my playmate for always, my hug and my wiggle. Hanging out with you is where I want to be, eating ice cream sundaes or watching TV. Under your umbrella, behind you on a bike, by you and beside you is what I really like. I can't imagine life before you came along. You are the music to my dance and the music to my song. I am meant for you, and you are meant for me, the one I love forevermore, undeniably. I love you. How much? So much. How much is so? Way, way more than you'll ever know. God came into our lives in a very big way. And even when we feel he has turned his back on us, the Bible promises us that there is nothing too big to separate us from the love of God. By sending his only son to die for us on the cross, Jesus became our rescuer. That he would lay down his own life so we could be in a relationship with him. This idea that God came and rescued and delivered us reminds me of the poem that a lot of us have heard about God carrying us in the sand. I want to read it to you. This is when I'll probably cry. One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two set of footprints. Other times there was only one set. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there have only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why? Why, when I needed you most, were you not there for me?" And the Lord replied, "The times when you have only seen one set of footprints was the time that I carried you." I wonder what changed David's mind. How is it that he was feeling so ignored, and then in moments his faith is renewed? Maybe it was something like the story or this poem, and it reminded him of God's deliverance. Maybe he was reminded that God keeps his promises. After reading the story and letting God's word fall on me, I am reminded of what it means to be rescued. Through Christ's death and resurrection, we are rescued from a life of sin into a life of God's favor. Jesus' blood washed us clean and rescued us. I'm reminded of the times when I had felt God's rescue. I was in the Dominican Republic On this past high school mission trip, 13 of us went to the Dominican to help run a children's program along with basic construction. I'd been on many mission trips, so I knew what I was getting into, or so I thought. I knew I would have experienced culture shock. I knew I would cry when I saw kids running around with pot bellies and no clothes. And I knew that I would leave with a feeling of accomplishment. I didn't know that I would leave feeling the way that I did. It was on the third day of the trip, and we had finished our first half of the day's work. And we were all talking about our lunchtime break. And in the front of the building where we were staying was the local road where children would anxiously gather and wait for us to play. Being that I was finished with my lunch, I decided to take my Bible and my journal and journal a few thoughts while I was waiting for the rest of the group to finish. I sat out front of the building and watched a mother and her family hold the hands of her young children and go about her normal routine. I then turned my head and watched a family washing their clothes in a nearby running water faucet. It was then that a toddler boy who had become quite fond of me came and sat on my lap. He didn't smile the whole week we were there. He always looked grumpy. And I noticed that he had cuts and bruises all over his body, especially on his feet. He crawled into my lap, naked as the day he came into the world, and put his sweet hands on my cheek. There, with a naked child on my lap, I began to weep. I prayed silently in my head, asking God how long I was going to hurt like this. And the little boy asked me in his native language why I was crying. I realized that I had no way to explain to a toddler child in a language that I was not completely fluent why I was crying, and I didn't know how to say because my husband left me and he wasn't coming back. As I started to run through in my head how I was going to translate into Spanish why I was sad, it was then that God gave me a few words. For the first time in what seemed like forever, God spoke. God reminded me that my daughter would never be without clean water. She'll never run around naked in the streets because we don't have clothing. She'll never go hungry, and she'll always have people to look out for her. So I replied, "No sé," meaning I don't know. He squeezed me and said, "Está bien," meaning it's okay. He jumped down from my lap and started throwing rocks. I sat there and cried, but for a different reason this time. It was not because my pain was miraculously healed or because I was mourning the loss of a wonderful husband, but I wept because I could feel God's presence again. I was reminded that God keeps his promises, and God sent Jesus to rescue us. And that's exactly what those few minutes with this little boy and Jesus did. Rescue me. Being rescued makes me think of the staff members who paid the ultimate sacrifice in the Sandy Hook, Connecticut school shootings. When our nation heard of the awful tragedy that hit the town, all of our hearts hurt. A gunman came into an elementary school and shot several children and several adults. There were so many people who did all they could to keep children safe. A news report says a worker turned on the intercom and alerted all those in the building that something was wrong. A custodian risked his life by running through the halls warning everyone of danger. A clerk of the library led 18 children on their hands and knees to safety. They gave them paper and crayons to keep them quiet. Out of the ruins of families that lost a precious child, sister or mother, out of the tight-knit town roiling with grief, glows one bright spot. The stories of staff members of the Sandy Hook Elementary School who prevented further damage through selfless actions. The district superintendent noted that there was incredible acts of heroism and ultimately saved so many children's lives. The teachers were really focused on their students, and some of them made the ultimate sacrifice. After gunman Adam Lanza broke through the school door, the school psychologist and the principal ran toward him. The school psychologist died while lunging at the gunman, officials said. 56-year-old teacher who would have been tasked with helping survivors with the tragedy. She was quoted dying doing what she loved. She was doing God's work, her son said. Just this past October, the same woman had tweeted a picture of her school's evacuation drill and said, "Safety first." Victoria Soto, a 27-year-old teacher, reportedly hid students in a bathroom and a closet, and she died trying to shield them from bullets. Her cousin said he wasn't surprised. She was a teacher who cared more for her students than herself. Speaks volumes for her character and her commitment to dedication. This is the kind of love that God has for us, that he would lay down his life in order for us to live. Now that is something to be grateful for. In my times of deepest despair, I'm still reminded of Christ's heroic rescue of my soul, and I will sing for the joy of my salvation. Like David, we are all faced with times of hardship, and even times when we feel that God has turned from us. But please don't give up. God's deliverance is bigger than any hurt that we could feel, and his love for us conquers all of our iniquities. Be rest assured that God is your rescuer too. Pain is not apart from us because we are Christians. And just because God delivered us doesn't mean that we won't be filled with great sadness at some times. I still cry when I hear the song that Joshua and I danced to at our wedding. And I'm sure that the families of the children who were killed in Connecticut are still waking up trying to put the pieces together. And David the psalmist, who was the man after God's own heart, still had times of doubt in need of deliverance. But God keeps his promises. And when we need it most, God carries us. That's all I got.